To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We all know about being lost. So many people have said to me over the years that they feel lost, or they feel stuck, or they feel as if they're going nowhere. And of course, if you are lost in thought, you are going nowhere. There's an everyday expression that we use freely. Oh, sorry, I wasn't listening to you. I was lost in thought. And when we are thinking, we are indeed lost. We are divorced from the moment, immune to the reality of the here and now. Our lives are passing us by while we think we are doing what we need to do to move ourselves forward, despite the fact that we have no evidence to confirm that we move forward when we're using our minds normally, or if we do, it isn't without a great struggle and a lot of stress. Yes, people are lost in thought. We have another expression for it as well. Sorry, I wasn't listening to you. I'm preoccupied. And that literally is what is going on in the normal, crazy mind. We know from research from the neural lab of UCLA that the normal mind has 70,000 thoughts whizzing through it every waking day. The same, or almost exclusively the same 70,000 thoughts whizzing through the mind every day since we were 12 or 13 years of age. The thoughts that come from our formative programming, the thoughts that enable us drag ourselves from one day to the next, feeling lost, feeling stuck. So when we're using our minds normally, we are actually preoccupied. There's a squatter in your attic. God help us, we actually think that that squatter is real. We think that the person, the personality that's formed from those 70,000 thoughts, what psychology calls our conceptual self, is who we really are. So once again, preoccupied, lost in thought, we're divorced from the reality of the moment, and more importantly, we're divorced from the reality of who and what we really are. Who? We are somebody beyond thought, something greater than any of our thoughts could ever imagine. What? We are flowing universal energy, part of something greater. That's how we can be so much greater than our thinking minds could ever imagine. But then again, people say to me, oh, I enjoy gardening. Had a number of conversations about this over the years. I lose myself in the garden. And I always say to them, no, you actually find yourself in the garden, because when we are immersed in something that we love, our thoughts take a step to one side. Our thoughts perhaps evaporate like mist in the morning sun, and we experience the reality of the moment. And when we are immersed in something that we really love, time flies, or time bends, I should say, because sometimes a single moment can feel like an eternity, a magic moment, a perfect moment. And then exactly the same time, the whole morning rushes by as if it were just that magic moment. We find ourselves when we are immersed in doing what we love. Now, doing what you love is a choice. You don't have to find yourself in the garden. You don't have to find yourself playing the piano. You don't have to dance or sing or walk along a beautiful beach or be out in nature to find yourself. We choose whether or not we like what we're doing right now. Regardless of whether the thinking mind might say, well, this is a routine task, cleaning the toilets, working on a production line, doing the shopping, picking up the kids. These are routine things. They're things that we just have to do. We might as well get on and do them. And whilst we're doing them, lose ourselves in thought, because that's inevitable if we don't immerse ourselves in what we're doing. That is inevitable if we don't choose to fully do the task in hand. That is inevitable if we don't immerse ourselves in what we're doing. It is inevitable if we don't love what we're doing. And that is a choice that we make. I've referred to this before, the flow research from the University of Chicago. If you want to explore it in more detail, it is in Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's book called simply Flow. A lot of that research was done on the production lines, the auto production lines in Detroit back in the 1980s. People doing mind-numbingly routine tasks as an engine block passed by on the production line. Some of those people were immersed in what they were doing, loving what they were doing, whilst other people were saying to themselves, I wish it were the end of my shift. It's all about choice, and from choice flows state of mind. So regardless of what you're doing right now, or regardless of what you have to do today, if you choose to immerse yourself in it as if your life depended upon it, then you're going to experience the reality of the moment. You're going to find yourself. You will no longer be lost in thought, blinded by the stupidity that is created by our own normal, crazy thoughts. Loving what you're doing is a choice. Immersing yourself in the here and now is a choice. Thinking that you are just little old you, that's a choice too. That's an automatic choice, because that's the way our normal mind works, but that doesn't mean it isn't a choice that you can change. We change these choices. We deliberately go about making our own choices to choose to be immersed in the moment, to choose to pay attention to what we're doing. We do that by training our minds to experience the moment. And you'll have heard me say this over 250 times at this stage on this podcast. We learn how to do that through experience, the experience that comes from regular meditation. Now, when I started doing this in 1996, there was very little research in relation to what meditation does for the brain. Most of the evidence was anecdotal, albeit that there were 2,500 years of anecdotal evidence. But because it was anecdotal evidence, some people would say to me, well, first of all, meditation is just some religious practice, which it isn't. Other people would say to me, oh, I can't meditate. And to quote Jon Kabat-Zinn from the University of Massachusetts Medical School, he who introduced meditation to the Western world in its current form through the development of mindfulness-based stress reduction therapy in the 1980s, to quote him, if you can breathe, you can meditate. Other people would say to me, oh, meditation does nothing for me. You see, on the assumption that you feel something straight away as a result of your first, second or third meditation. Now, the interesting thing about even your first, second or third meditation is that the act of doing that turns on the brain's attentional spotlight, your center of focus, your center of conscious awareness. And in doing so, restructures that part of the brain. In doing so, begins to restructure the key components of the subcortical brain that enable you to turn up to the here and now, experience what it feels like to turn up to the here and now, and therefore encourage you to choose to turn up to the here and now, to make the choices that I've been talking about a few minutes ago. If we don't do that, we are lost in thought. And once we are lost in thought, we are lost. Because being lost in thought means that I don't know what's going on, I only think I know what's going on. That I don't know who I am, I only think I know that I'm little old me, warts and all. And that means that I start acting out and misbehaving. Because everything I do, every apparent act that I take, is not an action, it's a reaction to what I think is going on and who I think I am. That means that people who are using their minds normally inevitably misbehave. Oh, we've talked about this so many times on our online program owner Zooms on a Wednesday evening. People around us misbehaving. It's something that people immediately become aware of when they start meditating regularly. The madness of normal crazy people, the madness all around them. And, you know, you don't need to look far in this mad world of ours at the moment to see the madness right in front of you, the madness in the car park, people fighting over one parking space when another 100 are available just down a couple of lines, the madness of people trying to push each other out of the way in the queue at the checkout in the supermarket, the madness on the world stage, the madness on the roads, the madness of parents screaming at their children, the madness in particular, because we see it quite a lot around here, the madness of people screaming at their children, telling them to enjoy themselves on their holidays. Madness, madness, madness. Because when we are using our minds normally, we're always automatically reacting to what we think is going on through the fog of who we think we are, through the fog of us thinking that we know that we're not capable of changing our lives radically, transforming our lives. You transform your life when you turn up to it. But as I just said, if you don't turn up to it, you're going to continue to misbehave. As I said, we've talked about this so many times on our program owner Zooms. We had a conversation a few weeks ago just after Easter where somebody recounted how Easter Sunday dinner in a large family gathering was disrupted by an argument over how people fold their clothes. Yeah, you heard me right. And I've loads more stories like that. That isn't the most outrageous or outlandish story. A 5-hour argument over the course of the whole day as to how you fold your clothes correctly or incorrectly. Absolute madness. And the problem with that is it sucks other people in. People who are there to enjoy themselves end up being sucked into the drama of normal crazy people. And by the way, if you're not careful, if you're not present, if you're not immersed in the moment, if you haven't found yourself by immersing yourself in the moment, you're inevitably going to be sucked into the drama of normal crazy people all around you. Because that's what they want from you. They want your attention. They want your energy because they feel inadequate themselves. And your energy and attention makes them feel more wanted, more needed, better. None of us needs to feel better about ourselves. All we need to do is turn up to the here and now, and then we'll realize that we are best just as we are. Flowing in the moment, found in the moment as a result, choosing to immerse ourselves in the moment. How do we go about developing our ability to break the habit of an adult lifetime? How can we make this choice to be present and immersed in the moment when our automatic choice is to be lost in thought? How can we turn up to the here and now when our minds are automatically tuned to be preoccupied by stuff that takes us away from the here and now? How can we book the trend of 1.8 million years of evolution that has given us the brain that enables us to run on automatic pilot, thinking the worst of ourselves from one day to the next? How can we start changing our lives when we consider that perhaps if we look back over the last few years, all our New Year's resolutions are more or less the same from one year to the next and nothing ever really changes substantially from one year to the next? How can we rise above our ordinary experience, if we can even call it that, of everyday life? Well, the choice starts with you choosing to sit down and meditate every morning, or most mornings. And I say most mornings because we're all only human and people won't meditate every morning. And if we decided to meditate every morning, we'd set ourselves up for failure because Having missed a morning meditation or two, we'd start getting annoyed with ourselves, perhaps feeling guilty about our inability to discipline ourselves. And then we'd fall back into the world of thought and say to ourselves, well, this meditation lark, it doesn't really work. Sure, it doesn't. But as I've said to you, and science proves it, if you were to meditate just for 5 straight mornings, the neural pathways in the key components of your brain will have already started to restructure themselves in a way that will enable them intercommunicate to enable you turn up to the here and now again and again and again when it matters. Now, what do I mean by that? We meditate to experience the moment and to restructure our neural pathways when it doesn't matter. In other words, when we're sitting in the privacy of our own room, perhaps at 7 in the morning. We do that at 7 in the morning and turn up to the here and now and experience clarity of mind, even if it's only for a moment in the here and now, in the privacy of our own meditation. So that as a result of transforming the neural pathways in our brain, we effortlessly, and that's a really important word, experience clarity of mind and the ability to choose to immerse ourselves in the here and now during the course of the day when it matters. And it matters all the time. It matters moment to moment. You never know the moment when you're going to meet the next most important stranger in your life. All of the people that are important to you in your life, for better or for worse, were strangers before you met them for the first time. Some of them made a bad impression on you, and perhaps that impression has lived with you ever since because you were using your mind automatically and they reminded you of somebody who left an impression on you when you were 2 or 3 years old. Others will have been signposts on an adventure that leads you forward. What might be called synchronicities, encounters with people who change your life. We never know when that's going to happen. We also never know when other synchronicities, in other words, opportunities that are meant for you as stepping stones to move you forward to the life that is best for you. We never know when that's going to happen. In other words, you never know the day nor the hour when something transformative is going to fall into your lap. It could fall into your lap. It could slap you across the face and you wouldn't see it, because you were blinded by your own stupidity. I was blind, but now I see. You see when you turn up to the here and now. If you don't immerse yourself in the here and now, then you're going to, as I said a moment ago, and it's worth repeating, be blinded by the stupidity of your own normal, crazy 70,000 automatic thoughts that don't just take you away from the here and now, but as a result of that, mean that you miss the opportunities, you miss the synchronicities, you miss the stepping stones that will lead you forward to a life that is unbelievable to the thinking mind that uses those 70,000 thoughts automatically day in, day out. So this whole adventure starts with you choosing to meditate. And really, all you have to do after that is meditate regularly. And not judge your meditation. You know, I just had a conversation with a number of online program owners where one or two of them said, oh, some mornings I sit down and meditate and I hit that beautiful space, that beautiful peace, that wonderful calm that slows me down. I'll come back to slowing down in a moment. And other days, my mind is bouncing around the place. We don't judge our meditation. Because to judge your meditation is to evaluate is to think, and you're back into the madness of the normal crazy thinking mind. Some mornings, your mental exercising will be invigorating and wonderful and calming. Other mornings, it won't be so much. But it's the discipline, the choice of sitting down to do it, that is half the battle. And by the way, it isn't actually a battle at all. We meditate in the morning so that we're tuned in for the day. We clear our minds in the morning so we can see during the course of the day. Or perhaps more to the point, we clear our minds in the morning so that we can feel our way through the day. Because when we do meditate, when we do allow our thoughts evaporate, we feel the flow of energy in our own bodies, because our own bodies are vessels of universal energy. The University of Seoul in South Korea has discovered that your energy flows along what is known as the primavascular system, which sits alongside the cardiovascular system. And I referred a few minutes ago to the 2,500 years of anecdotal evidence that would support the view before neuroscience got its teeth into what meditation does for the brain. I referred to those 2,500 years of anecdotal evidence from the perspective of meditation. But acupuncture has been exploring the flow of energy along what acupuncturists call the meridians in the body, in other words, the primavascular system, for those 2,500 years as well, or more. When we meditate, we allow ourselves flow, and we choose to allow ourselves feel that flow, so that during the course of the day, we can feel our way through the day. What do I mean by that? I mean that we feel our own gut instinct. Now, there's a phrase that is used in everyday language, just like lost in thought or preoccupied. This is something that actually really means something, just as the other two phrases do as well. As I said earlier on, if you're lost in thought, you actually are lost. If you are preoccupied, it's because there's a squatter in your own attic. But if I am feeling my own gut instinct, what I am doing is actually knowing what's going on and knowing what I need to do, and indeed knowing what I need not do moment to moment during the course of the day. And that's the significance of what meditation does to the subcortical brain, as proven again and again and again over the last 20 years by neuroscience. Neuroscience confirms that the insula, the amygdala, and most importantly, the hippocampus in the subcortical brain are reconfigured as a result of regular meditation. These are the parts of the brain that enable you know what's going on moment to moment and know what you need to do moment to moment to get the best out of that moment, regardless of what you have to do in the moment. And that is why I said earlier on, if it's dropping the children to school, or doing the supermarket shop, or digging the garden, or washing the dishes, if we immerse ourselves in what we're doing, then we are going to fully appreciate what's going on, actually feel it, and be open to our gut instinct or intuition telling us what the next best thing is to do. Now, with regular meditation, you don't have to make that choice during the course of the day because of the way in which those key components of your subcortical brain are reconfigured, simply as a result of sitting down for a few minutes every morning to meditate. In other words, as a result of new neural pathways being created, as a result of pre-existing neural pathways being widened and new neural connections being made, your brain starts behaving in a way that is absolutely different to the way in which evolution developed our brain. You take your own evolutionary quantum leap. And that means that you do end up slowing down. We need to slow down to speed up. We need to take our foot off the accelerator to move forward more freely. We think that we need to be busy, 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 but that is just normal crazy thinking, and we end up doing the wrong things, or we end up procrastinating over the things that we should be doing and end up either not doing them or again doing the wrong things because we think they're the right things. If we're using our minds normally, more of our energy is taken up thinking about what we need to do than actually doing it. And therefore, as a result, when we are doing whatever we're doing, even the mundane stuff, we're doing it through the fog of thought. We're not doing it properly. We're doing it with more than the necessary degree of effort. We end up being stressed as a result, and that takes us further down the rabbit hole of normal crazy thinking. But when you slow down and when you know what's going on, You know where you are. You know who you are. You know what you need to do. You know how to do it. And you just do it effortlessly without saying to yourself, ooh, I need to think about this, or I need to evaluate it, another form of thinking, as we said a few minutes ago, or without thinking that little old you couldn't do or say what needs to be said or done. We free ourselves up completely and effortlessly by simply being present in the here and now, immersed in what we're doing in the here and now, and letting everything flow through us, in us, and around us to lead us forward effortlessly and to manifest. Don't like that word. There's a reason why I don't like it. I'll come back to it in a moment. And to manifest that is all that is best for us in our lives. Why do I not like the word manifest? Because an awful lot of people will say, oh, I just need to wish what is best to come into my life. No, you need to do what you need to do. And obviously, you need to avoid doing what you shouldn't be doing in the first place at all. And an awful lot of people, using their minds normally, spend their lives doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. We manifest all that's best in our lives by doing what we need to do, by putting our best foot forward moment to moment, because we've turned up to the moment as a result of being immersed in the moment, regardless of what we have to do in the moment. You see, people think, and that's the rock on which we all perish, people think that in doing the mundane things, we can allow our minds idle, allow our minds drift off into the world of thought. But as I said a moment ago, that is the rock on which we all perish. Immerse yourself in everything. But as I said a minute ago, this becomes so easy. It becomes, I was going to say second nature, but it's true nature. This becomes your new way of being, your way of allowing yourself be free to accept all that is best for you, moment to moment. This all just effortlessly happens for you when you train your mind to settle and allow yourself experience the feel of your own flowing energy through a regular practice of meditation. That's really the only choice we need to get right. You'll have heard me say before that, you know, the choice we need to make moment to moment during the course of the day is the choice that I'm present rather than I'm lost in thought or preoccupied. It's actually easier than that. I simply need to choose to meditate regularly. And then my new way of being, my new way of energy flowing, my new way of neural traffic whizzing around my subcortical brain will enable me be present and immersed in the moment, moment to moment, during the cut and thrust of my day, so that I don't just know what's going on. I'm not just spotting the opportunities or synchronicities that come my way. As a result of my freeing up my little bit of universal energy, I become a creator of opportunity and synchronicity. And I dance through my day effortlessly. I even dance through the challenges of everyday life effortlessly. Very often we amaze ourselves most when we rise to the challenges that are most often presented to us by the madness of others. Your life is in your own hands. You can either be lost in thought or preoccupied, or you can find yourself in the moment.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.